Today's guest works with Dan Walters, my favorite guest from Cal Matters, calmatters.org. However, Lauren Hepler is an investigative reporter at Cal Matters. She's focused on labor issues and California's housing crisis. She has spent the past decade covering housing, labor, and climate issues for the New York Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Guardian, the LA Times, and her new job will be working for Radio Real Estate part-time without pay. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Lauren Hepler.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me. What an intro.
Thanks for the laugh. I appreciate that. I kept wanting to pronounce your name Helpler.
Oh yeah, I get helper a lot because I'm so helpful, I'm told. But yeah, you got it on the first one. Switch the P and the L.
It's confusing. Hepler, are you related to the HEPA filter family?
Right, I wish. That sounds like it would be a good family to be in.
I would say so. I would say so. Well, thank you for joining me. May 7th, I read an article that was written by yourself and Marissa Kendall, and it was entitled, Did Newsom's $3.8 billion Hotels to Housing Program Pay Off? And so I contacted you. You're gracious enough to come on to discuss it. Curious, Marissa Kendall, you're an investigative reporter. Is she have a similar title?
Yeah, so Marissa is actually our homelessness beat reporter. So she's based up in the Bay Area, has covered homelessness and housing for a long time for the San Jose Mercury News and other publications. And I'm based down in Los Angeles. So we decided to sort of tag team this and say divvied up the state because, you know, California's got our unwieldy 58 counties. It's a huge state. And we said, if we really want to look at a statewide massive program at, like this, $3.8 billion, like you said, we're talking about the Home Key Hotels to Housing program that folks may have heard about during the pandemic. We said, I think this is going to need to be a team effort. So that's how that came about.
Well, it makes sense. It's a very long article. I will put a link to the article on my podcast. And actually, within the article, there's a link where you could put in different cities and you could see projects. And lo and behold, we'll get into it later. I put in Santa Barbara. We'll talk about some of those projects. You know, the first thing I thought of when I read the title Home Key, besides it reminding me of Latchkey,
Right.
And I want you to give us a quick overview before we get into some of the bullet points in the article, that things you discovered when you filed 100 record requests, which is impressive, to really do a deep dive. But the first thing I thought of was not the Super 8 hotel, the motel that was converted in Goleta, but this motel near the Tioff restaurant, which I am a patron of. And there was a hotel there that it might have been during COVID where they housed homeless. So that's a different program though, right?
Yeah, so that's a great lead-in actually, because I think a lot of folks, it's like there was so much happening during this pandemic era where obviously it was a chaotic time. Nobody was sure what was happening when we were going in and out of lockdowns. The vaccines, you know, took a while to roll out. And even then, we were still stop start with the economy. The housing situation was very uncertain with so many folks out of work, not to mention, you know, California's longstanding issues with homelessness. So what we ended up with was kind of this mix of programs that even for folks like me who cover this as for a living, were sometimes hard to track. And so a lot of the temporary motel rooms where it was just like get folks off the street as fast as possible happened through another state program called Project Room Key. But that was sort of a temporary time-limited program where the state was taking a lot of federal emergency funding and trying to quickly get people inside, but there wasn't really like a long-term plan for what are we going to do. So Home Key came about later in 2020 when there was this big fear of like, oh my God, are we going to have a mass exodus back to the street if these temporary motel rooms expire? So the premise and the dollar amount went up over time. There were multiple rounds of this program, but the premise was basically, if we use some of this emergency money to actually acquire motel properties, will that be a more cost-effective way to create permanent housing? And and in some ways it makes sense because it's like you've got a structure that's obviously built to house people, though more temporarily. So can we do some investment and make those into more long-term, like studio or one-bedroom apartment type things? And it played out very differently place to place, as we soon learned.
That's fascinating. I hadn't even intended on mentioning the motel next to the tee off, and I'm so glad I did. I kind of vaguely remember that program, and as you mentioned, this is a great lead-in. My guest, Cal Matters investigative reporter Lauren Hepler, who writes for Cal Matters on the housing crisis, among other things. You mentioned the emergency money for this. Room key, the temporary moving homeless in, and emergency money, I assume, was federal money.
Most often, though, you did see with all of this, it eventually becomes sort of a mix of, all right, we can throw a bunch of federal dollars at this. Can we match it with some state funds, local governments? What do you have to chip in? So all of those funding stacks did get a bit more complicated eventually, but the catalyst for a lot of this was those emergency federal COVID dollars.
And I don't want to digress because this is not your bailiwick, but it just reminded me of like what was the push when COVID was happening and everybody was supposed to be kept 6 feet apart and you didn't want to be in close proximity, you didn't want to be indoors with people. So wasn't there a story that the homeless were actually not getting COVID because they were outside?
Well, that's interesting because I was covering actually housing and homelessness for the San Francisco Chronicle at this time, and there was a lot of confusion. And I think it was a really mixed bag. It depended where folks were and how they were living. Like I did go to one encampment in Oakland where the Omicron, remember we had all these variants of the virus, the Omicron variant had swept through and some people did get very sick. They had been sharing like kitchen equipment and stuff. So who knows how these things spread. So I think that's part of what makes this so difficult is that it was this crazy time. Folks are trying to get by. I was also covering unemployment a lot during this time. So some people were losing housing and ending up in their car or on the street. It was just a really frantic time. And so you had a mix of these cities trying to respond. All right, let's get people inside. In some cases, you're having to deal with like the triage of the encampments that are still outside. So it was a really, really chaotic time.
Boy, you couldn't have said it any better. A chaotic time. It was just the worst time. I still can't believe we lived through it. COVID. My guest, Cal Matters investigative reporter, Lauren Hepler, who's helping me understand the program that we're going to dive into to give us a little bit of a the program's concept, Home Key, which was. I guess it was Governor Newsom who put forward this, and it had a $3.8 billion price tag. Approximately when did it start? Did you say later 2020?
Yeah, so this was initially launched by the governor in the summer of 2020, and it started out. We ended up with multiple rounds of the program. So the first one, I believe, is a couple $100 million. And the basic idea was, okay, we're going to take these emergency COVID dollars and give them to local governments. We're going to award them to local governments that apply to convert motels and eventually other types of buildings, like in Santa Barbara, there ended up being a sorority house. So it ended up getting a bit more creative as the rounds went on. But we're going to turn these existing buildings into homeless housing. And for a lot of local governments, this was kind of a newer role, like becoming a project manager for a multi-million dollar real estate project. And they could either sort of do this work themselves, like knitting together the different city and state agencies, if they felt like they had the wherewithal. Some counties have pretty sophisticated like housing authorities that are more familiar with this type of housing or real estate work, or they could bring in outside contractors. And under Home Key, cities and counties were able to skip some of the usual building red tape, like especially some of the environmental laws. And that was all for the sake of speed. HomeKey had a really ambitious and many developers told us very unrealistic timeline of completing construction within 1 year, which is really kind of unheard of in California. So we can talk about how that ultimately played out. But I think the bottom line that this was really unlike anything California had ever attempted. And it really was because it sprang from desperation during the pandemic when it was this moment, still peak COVID, 5 months before vaccines. And again, after we had already moved so many people, like you saw in Santa Barbara, into these temporary motels, it just came from this desperation to figure out how to keep people under roof longer term.
Investigative reporter Lauren Hepler with Cal Matters. You can find her at calmatters.org, and I'll put a link to the article she wrote, co-wrote, along with her associate, Marisa Kendall. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Correct, yes.
Marisa. I don't understand. What happened to Marissa? Now we have Marisa. There's just too many.
I know a 2S Marissa. This is a 1S Marisa, yes.
And it's funny you mentioned building codes because I attended the recent UCSB economic forecast, and he brought up Austin, Texas, and he said that they have over the last 5 years reduced rental costs significantly, where everybody else has gone up, and they've built. You know, they didn't do it through rent control, which is now going through Santa Barbara, city of Santa Barbara, and it's quite controversial, and no economist seems to support it, including the UCSB economic forecast. And Austin, Texas has gone down because their building permit time frame, 22 days.
Wow, that's fast. I'm from the Midwest as well, so it's every time you go back, it's like entire mini cities have been built in a year or two, which is obviously, yeah, like we say, very different than the climate here in California.
I don't understand. It just seems like you have professionals. You could see it working elsewhere. You see rent control failing elsewhere, but that's what they're doing. So that's the overview. Is that the program's concept? Should we jump into your bullet points about after you filed 100 record requests, so you could really learn about the program and discuss your
Yeah, well,
findings?
I
Or
mean, I think the first thing to say is that we did not go into this planning to file 100 records requests. That's obviously pretty time intensive. This project took about 2 years in total, which was not at all what we intended. Back in, I would say it was like late 2024, we said, hey, okay, so HomeKey launched in 2020. We're going to be coming up on the 5 year anniversary. Maybe we can just get the state to give us a rundown of, you know, how many of these projects are done, how many are still in progress, what were some of the things that went well or still need to be improved if they want to extend this thing. But the state told us they could not give us those kinds of breakdowns and that we would need to go to the local governments to get those updates. So that immediately for us was like, huh, okay, like how did this end up working then if the state does not seem to want to share, you know, kind of aggregate data. You would might think it with like a big program that seemed pretty centralized that the state would be able to just give us that data. So that was our first kind of interesting finding. Like, all right, maybe this did become a bit more fragmented and the action was really at the local level. So from there, we decided to spend the time filing all of these records requests. And they were mostly with the cities, the counties, the housing authorities that were awarded this $3.8 billion.
And my guest, Lauren Hepler, investigative reporter, Cal Matters, did that give you pause, or is that maybe how states run? Like, you know, give you pause to think, are they trying to hide something, or is this just the way of the West with the bureaucracy?
For us, the main question was what does that mean in terms of accountability and oversight? Like, if this was a very regimented program, you might think that they could say, yeah, here's our spreadsheet in terms of where every project stands. So ultimately, what we did was create a project of where every project stands. And we a ended up asking for details. Yeah, it was like 100 plus records requests, and we were looking at about 250 projects that were announced through the end of 2024. So it was a lot, but it seemed like something that we thought was worth investing the time in. Because everyone in California is just like, what is it going to take to make a dent in homelessness, to get folks off the street? So we thought it was worth the time to look at how all of those projects played out in really different corners of the state.
Okay, let's take a break and come back. And then, after you file these 100 record requests, your article came up with some great bullet points that we will discuss. I don't know if we'll have time to talk about the old Super 8 Motel in Goleta and then Hedges House of Hope. But we're talking about HomeKey, an article. It was a $3.8 billion hotels to housing program payoff. Co-written by investigative reporter Lauren Hepler with Cal Matters, calmatters.org. You can find her. And in a week or two, I'm going to have a former housing authority director on, and I will certainly send him this interview. We'll take a quick break, come back. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.